Bible. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book. So I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Open your Bibles with me, please, to the 116th Psalm. The 116th Psalm. And when you get there, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 116th Psalm. Y'all sound like y'all excited this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Joseph said, nobody. Nobody like, you know, when Joseph was singing, like, nobody, there's nobody like it. Man, we should have been tearing this place up. Amen. We should have been tearing this place up, man. I was looking at the praise team, amen, the supporting cast behind her, and I'm looking at the congregation, and I'm like, do we realize what she's saying? Said, there's nobody like him. How many know nobody means nobody? Amen. Are you at the 116th Psalm yet?
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes, you know, we come to church and we have a tendency, and I'm talking about me also. You know, people come to church, they have a tendency to think that, you know, we at a concert and the people on the stage are performing and we just watching them. No. We're coming to the house of the Lord. We all need to get involved in the praise and the worship. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Even Tyrone. Tyrone, when the Spirit of the Lord was on my heart, I just danced like that. I don't know about you all, but that young man, he gets me excited every time he gets on the stage. He don't care who looking. He don't care. He just start praising God. He be smiling, laughing, sweat be rolling off his head, you know, Spirit of the Lord, you know. So I'm jump like David, jump. And then we singing, when the Spirit of the Lord fall, I just jump. Ain't nobody ain't jumping. They just singing a song. Y'all still with me? Okay. Amen. Okay. I'll go ahead and get in the word. Amen. Okay. Amen. Are you at the 116th Psalm? I want you to look at with me at verse number 3. The Bible says, the sorrows of death surrounded me. That word compassed means surrounded. And the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. And then verse 4 says, then I called upon the name of the Lord. Oh Lord, I ask you, deliver my soul. Amen. Let me give you a name of the title of this message before I even get into it. The title of this message is called The Name of the Lord. The Name of the Lord. Amen? See, as we live in this world, as we go through this life, we will face moments where there are opportunities for sorrow to fill our hearts. Okay? We will face moments where there are opportunities for sorrow to fill our hearts. Amen? And during these moments, we will feel pain on the inside of us, and we will feel pain on the outside. Y'all still with me? Amen. Where it feels like it's sometimes we are carrying the weight of the whole world on our shoulders. Anybody ever been like that before? Amen. And when we find ourselves in those kinds of situations, okay, along with them comes sadness. Along with them comes a sense of weakness. I'm talking about physically, mentally, and spiritually or emotionally. Are y'all still with me? Amen. To the point where it makes us sometimes want to enter into a state of loneliness. Y'all still with me this morning? Amen. But the question is, what other choices do we have? I mean, when we find ourselves in those situations, what other choices do we have other than to enter into a state of loneliness? Amen? I mean, a lot of people say that sometimes when it rains, it pours. People say sometimes when it's thundering outside, it gets louder and louder. People say sometimes when it's lightning outside, it seems like the lightning is following behind me. Are y'all still with me? In other words, I'm in the midst of a storm. Amen? Amen, amen. But the question is, what other choices do we have other than to enter into a place of loneliness? Well, how many of you know that the answer to that question is found in the Word of God? Y'all still with me? The answer to the question is found in the Word of God. And listen to this. Not only is the answer found in the Word of God, there are examples in the Bible where people, okay, use the answer in their favor. Y'all still with me? One thing is to not know the answer to a problem. But once we know what the answer is, how many of you know we can use it in our favor? Are y'all still with me this morning? Y'all look like y'all just excited to hear this word this morning. Amen, 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 amen. Because see, there are examples in the Bible that lets us know that the answers to the question, okay, about what other choices we have, the answers to the questions are not based on man's opinion. But the answers are based on facts that are stated in the Word of God. Because many times when we go through situations, we want to get someone else's opinion on what shall we do. But how many of you know, Christians, sometimes we don't need to share anything with anyone. We need to contact God. We need to talk to Him. Y'all still with me? And sometimes we want to share, we want to get opinions from other people. And sometimes we let our own opinions get in our way. Well, Pastor, what do you mean by that? We let our own opinions, amen, okay, get in our way because many times we look for the answers in all the wrong places, within ourselves and within other people. And when we let our own opinions get in the way, many times we make the situation worse. Why? Because we start opening our mouth and speaking negative words out of our mouths about the situation, amen. And we know that the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 10, amen. I mean, 18:21, the Bible tells us that death and life is in the power of the tongue. So sometimes we make the situations even worse, amen. But once again, the question is, what other choices do we have? Well, I've already mentioned to us that the answer to the question is found in the Word of God. Amen. Because in this 116th Psalm, King David shares the answer to us. Y'all still with me? Okay. Based on a situation that he was facing at a particular time. I want you to go back to the 116th Psalm. I mean, the situation that King David was in seemed to have been getting the best of him, okay? And he not only used the answer in his favor, he shares the answer to the problem with us. Look at what he said here in the 116th Psalm. We find here in the 116th Psalm that King David is going through a very tough time. Amen. Let's read verse 1. Verse 1, he says here, he says, I love the Lord. Are y'all still with me? He said, I love the Lord because he has heard my what? Voice. Well, that tells me he's been spending some time in prayer, okay? I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. That word supplication right there means my earnest prayer or sincere prayer or my heartfelt prayers, okay? He said, hear my voice. Excuse me. He said, because inclined his ear or turned his ear to listen to me. He has inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Now look at what King David said here. He said, I was going through a situation here, and he said that I called upon the Lord, and the Lord heard my voice, okay? He heard my voice, amen. He says, so for that reason, the fact that he heard my voice, he says, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Well, that tells me something there. That tells me that apparently when God heard his voice, God did something about his situation. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Because if God heard his voice and God didn't do anything about his situation, David probably would not have said, well, I'm going to call on the Lord as long as I live. Because God didn't do anything to help him. Y'all still with me? Amen. See, sometimes in life, someone may do something to help you. Someone you ask for help, they won't help you. Y'all ever been there? And you say, I ain't going to ask that person nothing else because they don't want to help me. I ain't calling them. I'm going to call somebody else. But apparently God must have helped David. Because David said, I called on him. He heard my voice. He turned his ear toward my voice. And because of that, therefore will I call on him as long as I live. In other words, David said, in his lifetime, whenever he faced any kind of situation, circumstances, or problems, he said, I will call upon the Lord. Why? Because you know if he called upon the Lord, God will take care of business. Y'all still with me this morning? Amen, amen, amen. Now look at verse number 2. He tells us what he was going through and why he had to call on the Lord. He said, listen, he says, the sorrows of death surrounded me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. He said, I found what? Trouble. And I found what? Sorrow. Now notice what happened to King David. David faced some tough situations. He did not just say he faced trouble. He also said he faced sorrow. Y'all still with me? Not just one thing, but two things. Because how many of you know, sometimes you might be going through one thing, and then something else might sneak up on you. Y'all still with me this morning? Amen. He says, I face troubles and sorrow. Amen. Not just trouble, but sorrow also. Now, I want to share something with you. Pastor, you're already sharing. Good. I want to share something else with you. Because when you see words in the Bible, it's good sometimes to get a Greek dictionary or Hebrew dictionary to find out what the word means. So, you know, when I see stuff like it, automatically it just pops in my head to see exactly what is David talking about. Because there are all kinds of troubles. There are all kinds of sorrows. So what kind did he face? Well, when I looked those two words up in my Hebrew dictionary, I saw that the word trouble means trouble. I saw that the word sorrow means sorrow in that situation. So I said, okay, I'm going to go further. I need to find out what trouble and sorrow means. Because although David faced trouble and sorrow, there are two things. There might have been some other things that came along with his trouble and his sorrow. Y'all still with me? Not to question anyone's integrity, because I know all of you are smarter than I am. But when I looked up those two words, trouble and sorrow, this is what I found. The word trouble means misery. The word trouble means distress. The word trouble means pain. The word trouble means burden. The word trouble means fear. The word trouble means hardships. The word trouble means weary. The word trouble means destruction. Are y'all still with me? I looked up the word sorrow. The word sorrow means suffering. The word sorrow means anxiety. The word sorrow means weary. Y'all still with me? In other words, David, because of what the words mean in Hebrew, David was in a situation of trouble and sorrow, which means he might have been facing all of those different things I just named. He might have been facing one or three or three of them, but he might have been going through all of them. Hardship, sorrow, fear, etc., whatever. Y'all still with me? But it did not matter which one of those things he was facing, whether one thing or all of the things, he was in a tough situation and he had a choice to make. Y'all still with me? And how many of you know, as we mentioned last week, In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, the Bible says, I said, God said, I said before you, death and life, blessing and cursing. He said, choose what? Life. Well, David chose life in this situation. Are y'all still with me? Well, what was the life that he chose? Well, he made the right choice. Instead of trying to figure the thing out by himself, instead of trying to call his best friend, instead of calling his worst enemy, instead of calling his mother, father, sister, brother, instead of calling Tyrone. Now, I'm not talking about that Tyrone. Amen. Amen. Y'all know there's a song once out one time called, You Better Call Tyrone. He didn't. The Bible tells us that David, the Bible says in verse number 4, it says, David said, did I call upon the who? Name of the who? Lord. And he said, I asked thee, deliver my soul. He called upon the name of the Lord. Well, why would David call upon the name of the Lord? I mean, there were so many choices that different avenues that he could have gone down. Why did he call upon the name of the Lord? Well, Christians, there's a verse in the Bible. We're not going to go there. I'll tell you what it is. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 18, verse 10. And the verse says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And then it says, the righteous runs to it. And they are what? Somebody know the scripture. Y'all still with me? So he says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to the name of the Lord, and they are safe. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Now, there were a lot of choices, but he made the right choice. He called on the name of the Lord. Amen? Amen? Look at what he said here. Amen. Once again, look at verse number 4. He said, then call I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. He says, gracious is the Lord. And righteous, yeah, our God is merciful. He said, the Lord preserveth the simple. In other words, he protects us when we make a mistake or we don't even know trouble is coming. Okay? He says, I was brought what? He was brought what? He was brought what? Notice he didn't say he was high on the hog. Notice he said everything was all right with me. He said he was in a low situation. Probably as low can go. But how many of you know, it doesn't matter how low is. God can get underneath the low and lift you up. Nobody like our God. Y'all still with me? He says, I was low and God did what? He helped me. I was low and he helped me. And then look at what he said in verse 7. He said, return into thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. He said, return into what? Are y'all here this morning? Anybody here? Notice he said, return into my rest, O soul. In other words, when David was going through the situation before his deliverance, he probably could not even sleep at night. He probably was worried so much he couldn't even think straight. He had no rest in his mind, okay? When you see the word soul, think about mind, will, emotions, desires, personality. Think about life. He had no rest because this situation was getting the best of him. But he said, now that God has intervened, now I can return to my rest. Because God has taken care of the situation. Y'all still with me? Amen. And look at what else he said here. He said in verse 8, for thou, God, has delivered my soul from death. Mine eyes from what? Tears. That means when he was going through the situation, he had to cry sometimes. Are y'all still with me? He had to cry sometime. Lord, why am I dealing with it? What am I going? I just can't help myself. Probably crying so much he probably couldn't even say. This is King David. This is the one who is after God's own heart. See, it doesn't matter what heart you're after, Satan's going to still attack you. Because he tried to get you to turn away from God. David said, he wiped the tears from my eyes and my feet from falling. And then he said in verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the what? Living. I will walk before, in other words, I was in a tough situation, a bad situation. Things were going on with me. I was surrounded. I didn't know, you know, which way was up. And he said, I called upon the name of the Lord. And because I called upon the name of the Lord, he said, now I will call on him as long as I live. Y'all still with me? He said, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I mean, David, I can see him being excited. Because God delivered him out of that low situation. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And then look at what he said here in verse number 10. He said, I believed, therefore have I spoken. I believed, therefore have I spoken. He said, I was greatly afflicted. Notice what he did not say. Notice he did not say he was afflicted. He said, I was what? Greatly afflicted. You know, when you look at that word affliction, you'll see words like misery. You will see words like distress. You will see words like hardship. You will see words like fear. You will see words like panic. You will see words like suffering. Y'all still with me? Same thing I talked about with trouble and sorrow. He was going through a lot of things. All at one time. They were too much for him to bear. So he called upon the Lord, and the Lord delivered him out of them all. In other words, God did exactly what the scriptures said that he would do. He delivered David out of all of his afflictions. I want you to go with me, please, to the 34th Psalm. The 34th Psalm. He did exactly what the word of God said that he would do. Exactly. 34th Psalm. Y'all still with me? Amen. I keep looking at the clock, amen, because it's amen, amen, amen. He did exactly what the word of God said he would do. Are you there yet? Look at what he said here in verse number 15. I'll start there. Amen. Look at what he said here in verse 15. Let me just go down. Look at verse 18. Let's start with verse 18. Verse 18. Verse number 18. Look at what he said here. He says, the Lord is near unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Do y'all see that? See, sometimes you go through things in life. You have opportunities for sorrow to fill your heart. And look at what he said in verse 19. He says, many are the what? Afflictions of the who? Righteous. Do y'all see that? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them. Wait. The Lord delivered them out of some of them. The Lord delivered them out of every odd number, 1, 3, 5, 7. He says, many are the afflictions. I just told us that David could have been going through all those things, or three of them. Perhaps some of you are going through all those things, or five of them. It does not matter. The Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, those who are saved, who are in right standing with God. He says, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. Now, the question is, well, first of all, the statement is, we know the scripture. The question is, do we believe what the scriptures say? See, it's one thing to know, but do we believe? Because we just saw in verse 10 where King David said, I believe and I spoke. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of. How can the Lord deliver us out of all of our afflictions? I mean, how can he do that? Well, we found out last week that he's an omnipotent God. He's a God with unlimited power. So if he's a God with unlimited power, that means that there is nothing that he cannot do. Y'all still with me? Amen. There is nothing that God cannot do. Not only that, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, you can read it when you get home, the Bible tells us that the name of Jesus is above all names. The name of Jesus is above all names. That means the name of Jesus is above the name of trouble. That means the name of Jesus is above the name of sorrow. That means the name of Jesus is above the name of worry, above the name of fear, above the name of hardship, above the name of destruction, above the name of whatever name it is. The Bible says the name of Jesus is above it. And it doesn't matter what we go through in life, how things may seem. It doesn't matter whether it's one thing, five things, or 100 things. The name of Jesus is above those things. And when those things try to surround us, when those things try to confound us, we have to remember that our help is in the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. Amen, amen, amen. Listen, y'all sitting there like you got baptized in some pickle juice. Amen. But get yourself in a situation and you call on the Lord and see what the Lord would do for you. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord, of Jesus, is above all names. And it doesn't matter what we go through in life, all we need to do is do what David did. We need to call on the name of the Lord, because there is nothing too hard for him. I was excited when I read that yesterday. Amen, amen, amen. David said, I called on him. And I really liked it, the word trouble and the word sorrow in the Hebrew, in that scripture there, it just says trouble and sorrow. That means David could have been going through anything. But whatever he was going through, it brought tears to his eyes. You ever been through anything like that? Whatever he was going through, it made him sad. You ever been sad before because of something that you went through? Whatever it was, he felt like he had a heavy burden. Have you ever felt that before? Amen. But all he did was call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Listen, that's why we sing that song sometimes. The name of Jesus, how majestic is that name? Amen. Somebody say thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen. David called on the Lord. God delivered him. Amen. Well, Pastor, I know the Bible said that God delivered King David. But that was King David. What about me? Well, Chris, let me to tell you, the Bible says that God is no respect of persons. If he did it for one, he will do it for another. Glory. Romans chapter 12, I believe that's where it said. God is no respect of persons. If God do it for one, he do it. The Bible didn't say the name of the Lord is a strong tower. No respect to persons is in chapter 2, around verse 11. The scripture didn't say the name of the Lord is a strong tower. If King David run to it, it would be safe. It didn't say that. It said the righteous. You consider in God's eye the righteous. You've been declared righteous. Why? Because you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. When you accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit put a stamp on you. Y'all still with me? Pastor, where my stamp at? Don't worry about it. It's there. The Bible says, walk by faith and not by sight. That's what's wrong with Christians today. We want to see everything. You don't need to see it. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord look to and fro. Let him look at it for you. What we need to do is do what God says. Yeah, I'm excited because that's what that word got me excited. Amen, amen, amen. David said the name of the Lord. I was going through all these different things. He said, I called on the name of the Lord. See, listen to this, Christians. If David didn't believe that God would do anything, he wouldn't have called on him. And he told us, okay, something very important. Look again at verse number 10. Go back to the 116 Psalm. 116 Psalm. Amen, amen, amen. Boy, I tell you what, I was excited about this lesson. 116 Psalm. Look at what he said here in the 116 Psalm. I'm going to read it again. He said, I believed, therefore I have spoken. In other words, I was greatly afflicted, but I believed God could deliver me. In other words, he said, some other translations, I think, say, he said, I trusted God. I trusted that God would hear me. And then the Bible said he put faith into operation. Pastor, I don't see that. Well, let me tell you what it is. He acted on what he believed according to the word of God. Well, what was the action? He called upon the Lord. He believed it. He trusted God. And he called upon the Lord. And because of his belief, because of his trust, he put it to action and God delivered him. Are y'all still with me this morning? Pastor, you need to cool down. Okay, I'll drink a little bit of water. He knew exactly what to do. He believed God would deliver him, verse 4. He believed God would help him, verse 6. Look at verse 6. It said, the Lord preserved the simple. I was brought low. And God did what? Help me. He called on God to do those things, and that's exactly what God did. God delivered him. God helped him. Are y'all still with me this morning? And because God is no respecter of persons, if you call on him, he will help you. David said he believed. There's a problem for many people. Many people say they believe, but they really don't. So they don't call nobody. They try to figure it out themselves. They say they believe. But we found out last week there's a place we need to believe at. Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, some people believe in their mind. You can't believe in your mind. You have to believe in your heart. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your what? Heart. So when it comes to believing the things of God in the word of God, we have to believe it in our heart. Because if we believe it in our mind, then we will start going back and forth, double-minded. And the Bible says the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We would start, in certain situations in life, we would start doubting God. So we can't afford to believe in our mind. We must believe in our heart. Y'all still with me? A lot of people say they trust in God. I trust in God, my Savior, the one. But they just sing a song. People say they trust in God, but they really don't. Because they trust him the wrong way. They believe in their mind. And not in their heart. So they don't go to him in time of trouble. They try to figure it out themselves. Y'all still with me? Amen. Are you really? They say that God is their helper. And he is our helper. But they said, but when they need help, they don't go to God. Because they really don't believe God is their helper. They go get someone else's opinion instead of going to God. But King David didn't do that. He said he believed. He trusted. He was at his lowest low or a low point in his life. He didn't go tell everybody. You don't need to tell everybody. Sometimes things in your life is for you and God. Start telling people that your business is all over CNN and you're upset about it. Just tell God. Because he already know it anyway. David said, I'm not going to talk to you. There's a song I like. Y'all may say it's a secular song. But I love this song. And for years, because I think about the words to the song. And I tell you the name of the song. You know, the song says a change is going to come. And I like the part where the dude said, I asked my brother, can you help me, please? And he said, no, I'm not able. And then he says, so I fell down on my knees. See, there's some things that go on. I asked my mother, Mama, can you help me, please? She said, I would like to, but I'm not able. And then he said, I fell down on my knees. See, there are some things in life, you know, nobody can help you. Maybe they can't help you. You need to go to God. Y'all still with me? And he will change the situation. But we have to trust in him. We have to believe in him. We can't keep saying we believe, we trust, he's our helper. And then when we need help, we don't go to him. We're just deceiving our own selves. Y'all still with me? They believe in the mind, but not in the heart. The mind don't work because that's the battleground. Satan will make us think we believe God and we really don't because he's a deceiver. Y'all still with me? The Bible tells us, there's scripture that tells us that number one, God is a deliverer. I'm not going there for the sake of time. You can write it down. Look at the 18th Psalm. God is a deliverer. The Bible tells us, many of us are familiar with Proverbs chapter 3, 5, 6. The Bible tells us to trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not into our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge him and he shall direct our path. We know this, and we still don't do it. And one thing I like about King David in that situation, notice he did not start just quoting scriptures. Because people think just because they can quote scriptures, I'm good. You know, the Bible says, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But are we applying the scriptures to our life? If we are not doing what the scriptures say, they can't help us. Amen. David didn't start quoting scriptures. The Bible says he called upon the name of the Lord. He didn't try all these different remedies first. Well, since none of them working, let me go call on the Lord. Listen, if you call on the Lord first, you won't even mess with all those old remedies out there. Grandma said, if you mix this water, no, don't mix no water. Call on the Lord. Because there is power in the name of Jesus. Elder Bondrian mentioned this morning, in the praise team, the last song they sung, they told us about the blood of Jesus. That blood that washes sins away. That blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. Amen. There's no blood more potent than the blood of Jesus. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Call upon the Lord. You know, people say he's my help, but they don't believe it. But the word says that. He is our help. Go to Hebrews. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4. Am I hearing anybody's ears this morning? Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. When you get there, say amen. Hebrews chapter 4. Boy, I tell you what, amen. I just love God. Amen, amen, amen. Hebrews chapter 4. Amen, amen, amen. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. I might have wrote down the wrong scripture. Amen. But the scripture, what the scripture tells us to do, you know, it's not here. It's somewhere else. And somebody can look it up for me if you want to. The Bible tells us that when we're going through situations, it tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Is it for amen? Amen. Oh, yeah, here we go. It is Hebrews 4. Thank you, sir. Amen. I'm so excited, man. Amen. Let me wipe my glasses off right quick. Amen, amen, amen. I mean, I'm so excited. Elder Davis, thank you so much. I'm so excited my glasses are steaming up. I don't even know what page I'm on. Amen. Look at what the Bible says. Amen. See, sometimes you can be on the right page and not even know it. You get so excited about God. Look at what the Bible says here. He says in verse chapter 4, it says in verse 15, it says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." Talking about Jesus. "But was in all points," what? "Tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Now let me explain to you what they're saying. We know Jesus Christ was the Son of God. But when Jesus Christ walked on the earth, he had a fleshly body. And he faced some of the same temptations that we face today. And he faced those temptations to show us the way. To show us that we could, that we can, it depends on us, our faith in God, we can overcome any temptation that Satan throws into our path. Amen. He's our example. And then look at what he said here in verse 15. He says, because of that, he says, "Let us therefore come boldly." Y'all see the word boldly? That means don't waste time. That means have confidence. So let us come boldly into the what? Throne of grace. So that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Find grace to help in time of need. Amen. The NIV, I believe, says, "Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence." Let us approach God's throne of grace with confidence. Okay. So that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. It makes it personal. Why? Because God is our helper. Y'all still with me? David said, "I believed and I called upon the name of the Lord." In other words, David put his faith into action. Because we know as Christians, many of us, if you don't know, you know, you're going to know right now, the Bible tells us to walk by what? Faith and not by what? Sight. That word walk means to live. And see, listen to this. People say that they have faith, but they really don't. Now, well, let me rephrase that. They have faith, but some people still have their little, I mean, not little, I can't call it little, it wasn't little, but some people still have that measure of faith that God gave them when they accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And many people have not done anything to grow their faith since they got saved. People say they have faith, but they really don't. They really don't. Because if they really have faith, where is it when we start facing trials and tribulations? Where is it? And as Christians, that's what we do. We quote scripture. Satan don't care if we quote scripture. He quotes scripture too. Look at St. John chapter 4, when he told Jesus what was written. Every Christian have great faith when nothing is going on in their life. But when those spiritual frying pans start hitting them upside their spiritual head, then where's the faith? See, I have great faith. I have great faith. Just like the Bible, Jesus told that man in the Bible, "Father, you have great faith. I have great." Well, where is it? And I've said this many times, Christians, if you and I want to know our faith level, you know, sometimes we measure levels in life. If we want to know our faith level, Well, go through some trials and tribulations. Go through some trials and tribulations. I have faith in God. Go through some trials and tribulations. And then you see where your level of faith is. Y'all still with me? See. Because see, when we're going through those trials and tribulations, we need to be patient and wait on God to deliver. Everything happens in His time and not ours. And the problem with a lot of Christians is that they are impatient. Don't you know that faith is based on the Word? I'm going to prove it to you. Well, I'll tell you right now. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, most people know it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word. So our faith is based on the Word. Are y'all still with me? And don't you know that it is faith that put our patience to work? Throw with me, please, to James chapter 1. See, talk is cheap. James 1. Y'all there yet? Amen. James the servant. I know y'all not there yet. Amen. I'll just be looking at the clock. Amen. Y'all there yet? Look what the Bible says here. The Bible says, James, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are all over the place, scattered abroad. He says, greeting, my brethren. He said, count it all what? Joy. When you fall into diverse temptations, and many people read verse 2 and they say, well, I'm going through some temptation, but I'm accounting joy. No, God is not telling you to count no temptation joy. There is no joy in temptation. But Pastor, that's what the Bible says. No, that's not what it says. You need to read the rest of the scripture. Sometimes we read half of a scripture and then we base our opinion on a half. You can't take the half. You have to take the whole. Look what the Bible says. It says, count it all joy when you fall in many temptations, knowing this, well, Christians, verse 3 is what you need to count joy. Knowing this, that the what? Trying or testing of your what? Faith worketh what? Patience. The trying of your faith worketh patience. In other words, when my faith is being tested, my faith put my patience to work. But I have a question for you. What if you don't have no faith? How can I put patience to work? How can my faith put patience to work if I don't have any? And that's why people freak out. Like the song you say, freak out. Y'all used to dance to it at the club. That's why people freak out and don't have patience when they're going through something. Why? Because they have no faith. See, no faith, no patience. Little faith, little patience. Y'all still with me? And if I got a little faith and I put my little patience to work, that little patience might not be enough. Y'all still with me? See? So I need to count it joy if I have faith. Because when I'm going through temptations, if I don't have faith, I'm in trouble. Y'all still with me? It's my faith. So once again, the Bible says, count it all joy, knowing this, that the trying of your faith work it, patience. Look at what the next verse says. But do what? Let patience have her perfect work, so that you may be perfect or mature and entire or complete, wanting what? Nothing. In other words, your needs met. Now let me explain that to you. The people says, let patience have her perfect work. Let patience. Well, what kind of patience is it talking about? See, Christians, we need to understand there are different kinds of everything. There are different kinds of patience. There's the kind of patience that comes when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we receive the fruit of the Spirit. And when you read about the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruit, I mean, a part of the fruit is long-suffering. Another word for long-suffering is patience. That's the kind of patience is telling to let have her perfect work. But what we try to do, we try to let our own personal patience go to work. Your patience can't do it. It can't do it. See? But listen to this. If I do not have the God kind of faith, I'm not able to let patience, the Holy Spirit's patience, go to work. Because patience works by faith. And a lot of people say, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be patient. And 2 days later, they're about to fall off the hill. Why? Because they're trying to use their own patience. Your patience won't work. My patience won't work. It has to be the patience that God has given me by way of accepting Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit. You can read about it in Galatians chapter 5. I don't have time to go there. The same with faith. You know, when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, you'll see the word faith there also. We receive faith. God has given us the measure of faith because we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the only way we can be saved. We are saved by grace through faith. The God kind of faith. Not the kind that I believe when I see. It's the kind I believe it because God said it. So I can't let patience have a perfect work if I don't have any faith, because the Bible says that the trying of our faith is what works patience. We need to get our own patience out of the way and start letting the patience that God has given us through the Holy Spirit go to work. In other words, how do we do that? By trusting God at His word, and by waiting on the Lord to deliver us out of that situation, holding strong to our faith, holding strong to our trust, holding strong to what we believe. Because once again, King David said, I believe and I have spoken. Y'all still with me? See, one thing about faith, we have to understand this. If we do not believe, we don't have faith. Let me rephrase that. If I do not believe the word, I don't have faith. I can say I have it all I want, but if I don't believe what the word says, I don't have faith. But Pastor, how can you say that? Listen to this. Because faith is, excuse me, because belief. Believing is an ingredient to faith. If you think I'm joking, go ahead and try to bake a cake without the cake mix. All you're going to have is fluid. Y'all still with me? Believing is an ingredient to faith. I'll give you an example. Romans chapter 10. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. What? Confession is an ingredient to faith. Did y'all know that? See, there are 5 ingredients to faith. Are you ready for them? Well, we know the Bible says faith comes by what? So one ingredient is, first I have to hear the word. Because faith is not coming if I don't hear the word. Y'all still with me? I must hear the word. And then, once I hear it, I must believe it. Because if I do not believe it, I'm not going to do the next ingredient, which is to receive it. Once I receive it, now what I need to do is to confess it. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, in other words, I am confessing the word out of my mouth. So number one, hear the word. Number two, believe the word. Number three, receive the word. Number four, confess the word. And number five, act on what I believe according to the word. In other words, I can't just be hearers. I have to also be doers of the word. Y'all still with me? Number one, I must hear it. Because if I do not hear it, how can I believe something that I don't hear? Number two, I must believe it. How can I believe it if I don't hear it? First I have to hear it. How can I hear it unless somebody teach it to me or tell me about it? I have to believe it. How can I believe it without hearing? I have to receive it. If I don't believe it, I'm not going to receive it. You don't believe it, you're not going to receive it. I don't believe it, man. I don't believe that, man. You liar. I ain't believe it. But if you believe it, you're going to receive. What you say? Really? Man, I can't help you. I can't wait to hear them get out of church because I'm going over there. If you receive it. And you confess it. Man, I'm going. Because don't you know they have it in sale? You just confess what you believe. Confess it out of your mouth. And then you acted on it because where's altar call now? I ain't going to stay for altar call. I'm gone. I gotta get over there. Y'all are right this morning. Amen. Hearing the word, believing the word, receiving the word, confessing the word, acting on what you believe, and that completes the faith process. If I don't act on what I believe, I'm not operating in faith. Are y'all still with me? And I told you last week, if people believe in their heart, they will do. If they don't believe in their heart, they won't do. That's just the way it is. Are y'all still with me? Amen. So we find out that King David, okay, and the reason why, once again, confession is so important because the Bible says that death and life is in the power of the tongue. So King David said, I believed and I spoke and I put what I believed to action. I called upon the Lord and he delivered me. Are y'all still with me? And that's what we need to do. When we're going through hardship, when we're going through trouble, when we're going through sorrow, when we're going through worry, anxiety, .. ETC, y'all know how y'all do in school, with et cetera. Amen. Whatever it is you're going through, we must call upon the name of the Lord. Because I mentioned earlier, amen, when we face afflictions, you know, which is all those things I named, we have no other choice but to call on God, because the scripture, if we believe it, we will call on God, because the scripture already told us that there are many afflictions of the righteous. But God will deliver us out of them all. So it doesn't matter how many we are going through, the Bible says the name of Jesus is above all names. Amen. Do we believe that? Do we trust him? Or do we just quote scripture? Are y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. Afflictions, I said it already, can be anything. When you look at that word affliction, you see all those words that I talked about, trouble and sorrow. They all hang out together. They're buddies. They team up on you. Why? Because you're a child of the Most High God. But God delivered us out of them all. We're facing troubles and sorrow. We need to call upon the Lord. And listen, Christians, he will deliver us. Why? Because the scripture says so. I'm almost finished. I want you to go with me to amen, to the fourth, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. You also need to know this scripture when I go to it, because this is our base scripture for the year. It's part of it. Philippians chapter 4. Mm-hmm. When you're going through situations and circumstances, we have to do what David did. He called upon the name of the Lord. Are you there yet? Look what the Bible says in verse number 6. It says, King James said, be careful for nothing. Y'all see that? That word careful means anxious, anxiety, worry, uneasy, nervous, etc. He said, don't worry about a thing. But it says, but in every what? Thing. In other words, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life, what Satan is trying to use to attack you, in everything, by what? Prayer. And what? Supplication. With what? Thanksgiving. Let your what? Request, with the S on the end. Do y'all see that? It didn't say one request. It said S. Let your request be made known to who? God. In other words, you need to call on the name of the Lord. Amen. And the Bible says, and when you do that, verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passes what? All what? Understanding. I don't know what I'm going through. You don't need to know. Just call on him anyway. It passes all understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. Which passes all understanding shall do what? Keep your what? Hearts and what? Minds through Christ Jesus. Do you see that? Go to Matthew chapter 11. I'm almost done. Go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Everything we need is found in the word. But the question is, do we believe like King David believed? I told you he was a man after God's own heart. Satan don't care who you are. He don't care. Matthew chapter 11. When you get there, say amen. This is the scripture. Either we believe it or we don't. Either we trust God or we don't. Amen. Let's make up our mind. God said, I said before you, death and life, blessing and cursing. He said, choose life. If you want to choose death, just don't do what the word say. And it'll come automatically. Y'all still with me? Look at Matthew chapter 11. This is Jesus talking. The name that's above all names. Look at verse 28. He says, come unto me, all you that labor. The word labor means you're fatigued and tired. You've been going through a situation and you just can't take it no more. Oh, I tried everything. Jesus said, come to me. In other words, he wants us to come to him before we get that way. But when we get that way, he says, come to me, and all you that labor and are heavy laden. That word heavy laden means overburdened. How many know that's an affliction? Okay. He said, come to me, and I will give you what? Rest. What did David say? David says, now I can have rest in my soul, God, because you delivered me. Jesus said, come to me, and I will give you rest. And then again, what else he said? He said, take my yoke upon you. Notice he said, take his. By Jesus saying, take his yoke, that means there are some other yokes out there that's not good for you. Y'all know what a yoke is? A yoke is what they used to use on cattle. They used to put it around his neck and direct him in the way that they want him to go. That's what Satan does for some of us when he gets us in bondage. He starts directing us. Jesus said, take his yoke and learn upon you and learn of him. Find out about his yoke. Because he tells us about his yoke. He said, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. Isn't that what David was looking for? Rest in his soul? And he found it by calling on the name of the Lord. And look what the Bible says in verse 30. Jesus says, for my yoke is what? Easy. That means those other yokes out there are not easy. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Light. Are y'all still with me this morning? Go and stand to your feet. I'm here to tell you, we serve a mighty God. That's why Tyrone was singing. When the Spirit of the Lord comes on my heart, I just dance like David. I just clap like David. I just sing like David. I just jump like David jumped. Because God is a great God. Great God. That's why Joseph sung, there's nobody like our Lord. Nobody. You know, I remember a song years ago when I was a little nappy head, but I know I always say that. Amen. And the song was called, and some of y'all might remember this. Some of y'all might have, know it. It was called, Our Help is in the Name of the Lord. It said, our help is in the name of the Lord. When the world tries to surround us, when the enemy tries to confound us, our help is in the name of the Lord. Because God is good. Don't forget, he has never failed us yet. Our help is in the name of the Lord. It's by Alvin Slaughter. I'll call his name. I'm going to help him make some money. It's by Alvin Slaughter. Christians, doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter what you're facing in life. Does not matter how great the situation look. Doesn't matter how strong the storm is. The name of Jesus is above that name. Either we believe the word or we don't. Either we trust in God or we don't. King David is only one example. There are so many examples in the Bible where a person was going through a situation and they called on Jesus. Listen to this. King David said, I'm going to call on him for the rest of my life. Y'all saw the scripture, right? Don't you know if you go all through the book of Psalms, King David told us the truth, because there are so many other scriptures in Psalm where he was going through some things and he called upon the name of the Lord. See, God is not here to deliver us just one time. He's here to deliver us whenever we call on him. He knows what we're going through, but he just wants us to put our trust in him. He wants us to put our faith into operation. Because when we really, really, really put our faith into operation, the patience that God has planted in us by way of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, then that patience go to work for us. But when we try to use our own patience to go to work, God is not a robot. God is not going to force us. The Holy Spirit is not going to force his way. He's not going to take control of our bodies. We have to give him permission. But Pastor, why do you give him permission? You know what I'm going through? Because God's word says, I set before you death or life, and life, blessing, curse. In other words, we have a choice. But he tells us what to choose. He says, choose life. In other words, what he's saying is, make the right decision. Because if you choose God, doesn't matter what the enemy tries to put into our path, we always win. Why? Because Jesus Christ has already won. And his victory is our victory. But we have to believe. Like David said, after he said everything from verses 1 through 9, in verse 10, he told us the rest of the story. He said, I believed. In other words, he baked a cake. He put the ingredients together. We need to put the ingredients together. We can't say we have faith and we don't believe God's word. There's no way in the world that we could have faith if we don't believe the word. Why? Because faith is based on the word. Call on Jesus. Amen. Somebody give God a hand praise, because he is good.